we present Kenneth Williams, Clement Freud, Tim Rice, and Giles Brandreth in just a minute. And as the minute waltz fades away, here to tell you about it is our chairman, Nicholas Parsons.
Welcome to Just a Minute, and as you've just heard from our announcer, we have two guests playing the game this week. They've been with us before. That's Tim Rice and Giles Brandreth, and of course two of our regulars, Kenneth Williams and Clement Freud. And once again, I am going to ask them to try and speak for just a minute on the subject that I give them without hesitation, repetition, or deviating from the subject on the card in front of me. And we'll begin the show this week with Kenneth Williams. So, Kenneth, the subject is doppelganger. That is the one Ian Messett has thought of to start the show. Can you talk on it for 60 seconds, starting now?
Doppelganger. It's derived from two words, one which means double, the other amounts going, you see. And the idea behind it is that existing in the world always, in spite of your ignorance and such subject, is someone who actually bears the most uncanny resemblance to you. And it was used to great effect in the war by our department for that sort of thing when they dressed up somebody to look like General Montgomery. And it was so convincing that he flew to North Africa. Lo and behold, Mercer Matroux to Brook and troops cheering, thinking what?
Well, what a way to start an edition of Just a Minute. Kenneth took the subject and didn't hesitate, deviate, or repeat himself. Kept going for 60 seconds, so he gets a point for speaking as the whistle went, but also an extra point for not being interrupted. And at the end of the first round, Kenneth Williams is in a commanding lead. We haven't heard from the others yet, so let us ask Tim Rice to take the next round. Tim, the subject is fashion. Will you tell us something about that in the game, starting now?
Fashion comes and goes. What's fashionable in one era is not in another. I would like to illustrate this by quoting from a well-known poem about a Canadian lumberjack. I see you are a logger and not a common bum, for nobody but one of those people I described in the title stirs coffee with his thumb. Coffee stirring with...
Clement, you pressed your buzzer. What is your challenge?
He repeated coffee.
I think, Clement, you have a correct challenge. A point for that. You take over the subject of fashion, and there are 38 seconds left, starting now.
Fashion is very much a movable feast. And the people who...
Giles Brandreth challenged.
Hesitation.
I thought
yes,
so as well.
Yes, very hesitant, I thought.
So, Giles... You have a point, and we hear from you on the subject of fashion with 34 seconds left, starting now.
I'm happy to say that I'm considered to be generally in the forefront of fashion, particularly when it comes to knitwear.
Tim Rice's challenge.
Deviation, this is totally untrue.
Oh! Well, of course, you are speaking, Tim, to the runner-up in the Sweater Man of the Year Awards.
Precisely. Yeah.
He wasn't actually deviating, you see, so we leave it with Giles with 29 seconds left, starting now.
Not only do I have the most interesting selection of marvellous jumpers, I also have edible underwear. Now, this is a fashion feature that has not long been universally recognised, but is something that is marvellous to nibble. Think of having a string vest that when you really get a little bit peckish, all you need to do is strip off the outer garments, lower your jaws to your own tummy button, and begin chewing away. It's so nourishing, it's so nice, it's so nifty.
And no, Clement challenged just before the whistle. Clement.
Three it's so.
Yes, we let one so go. Two so's go.
Well,
but three
I think so's. With a guest you should let a small thing like that. Maybe where are manners? Have we got no manners in this country today? Oh. Are we going to the dogs?
Kenneth, you're going over the top. I mean, for goodness sake, I mean, we do allow a little license on small words, but when it's repeated
just
three times...
Just a little word like S-O?
Yes, in quick succession. So I agree with Clement. So he has 1 second on fashion start.
Well, that's a trick, because if he's only got 1 second, he'll win.
Well, he'll win a point, yes. Why, half a second starting now.
Manipulation of young people.
They're not clapping, but they don't agree. That's a rotten hand, because they don't approve.
So Clement, speaking as the whistle-wind, got that point, and he is now taken the lead ahead of Giles Brandreth and Kenneth Williams, and he also begins the next round. Clement, the subject is reading instructions. Would you tell us something about that subject in the game, starting now?
I'm not actually very good at reading instructions, although staying in an American hotel and picking out the Gideon Bible, I noticed many instructions on the flyleaf, like, if you cannot find in this book what you are searching for, please ring 469-387, which I...
Giles Brandreth is challenged.
No reason to give out my phone number like this.
Well, nobody knew it was your telephone number until you drew our attention to it, Giles. So Clement keeps the subject, and there are 34... No, they're not. There are 39...
You can't even work out the score. Look at him.
I'm still subtracting from 60. There are 39 seconds left. Reading instructions, Clement, starting now.
On tins and cans and jars of food, you have instructions like pierce and push off. Also, dates beyond which you're ill-advised to open and eat the content. Instructions frequently seem to me to miss out the most important point.
Tim?
Repetition of the word important. He used it at the very beginning of this
yes,
long,
you did
boring
mention
treatise.
Important before, so, well, listen, Tim, and you have 19 seconds on reading instructions starting now.
If I was giving reading instructions, I would start with the fundamentals, viz. The alphabet. I would say to a child, start with A, B, C, D, then E, F, G, followed by H, then I, J, K, L, M, next, N, O, P, Q, pursuit.
Well, Tim Rice, being a master of words, cleverly took the subject and kept going till the whistle went, and he is now equal in second place with Giles Brandreth and Kenneth Williams, who are trailing Clement Freud, who is still the leader.
A
and
man
Giles...
of letters rather than a master of words.
Well, I think he could be both, if you like. He's a master of words and a man of letters. They're slightly different, I think, actually. As a writer and a lyricist and those things...
I hope this bit's not edited out.
Giles, it's your turn to begin. The subject is things I keep in jam jars. Would you tell us something about that, starting now?
The chief things I keep in jam jars are parts of my body, bits of my personal anatomy. Not while they are still attached to me, I hasten to add. This is not a form of personal hygiene. No, what I'm discussing are severed members, particularly... my appendix. This is where the obsession began. At the age of 11, in order to get out of playing a game of rugby at my school, I pretended to have a stomachache. The result was that a few hours later, a surgeon at the local hospital removed my appendix, which was totally uninflamed.
Clement Freud has challenged.
Unless he had two appendices.
Your appendix came up a second time, which is repetition in just a minute, Giles, so I'm afraid Clement has the subject with 22 and a half seconds. Things I keep in jam jars, Clement, starting now.
Things I keep in jam jars are predominantly jam. Plum, damson, orange, lemon, grapefruit, pear, banana, peach, and many other fruits beginning with letters A, B, C, D and numbered 1, 2, 3, 4... in jars which are made of glass, aluminium...
Jars is challenged again.
Repetition.
Of what?
Of fruit.
Oh, no, no, Giles, it's a repetition of a word. That's the rules of the game. You have played it before.
No, no, the word that was repeated was the word fruit. Yeah. I keep.
Yeah.
Earlier on, he said...
Oh, I see, yes, you... I'm sorry.
He named
yes,
said I'm fruit, sorry. Then he and then he, in recapitulating,
yes,
repeated
he,
the word.
He
fruit.
Mentioned
yes, I'm sorry,
grapefruit,
yes. He repeated
which is not fruit. Grapefruit is...
Grapefruit is a fruit.
Fruit.
Surely.
You did mention fruit before. Giles has the subject, and there are 7 seconds, things I keep in jam jars. Giles, starting now.
I never, ever, ever keep... Oh!
Oh. Tim, I think we know your challenge. You got in first and
yes, five... repetition ever.
Yes, seconds to go. Things I keep in jam jars starting now.
Time after era, I have discovered that it is extremely difficult to get the things you want.
So, Clement Freud is still in the lead. Tim Rice has taken second place. Giles is one behind, and one behind him comes Kenneth Williams, who begins the next round. Kenneth, the subject is Bach. Can you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
Bach once walked all the way, because he hadn't the money for a carriage, to the Marienkirche in Lübeck, because he worshipped this great man, a teacher, as well as a composer, who was called Buxtehude. And now, I thought it was very interesting, because this composer had done a piece.
Tim Rice has challenged.
Composer came up twice.
Yes, well, I mean, that's neither here nor there. It's very interesting what I'm going to say. Because this piece he'd done was a trio sonata, and it went da-da-da-da-dee, diddle-diddle-dee, and Bach said, isn't that awfully like autumn leaves falling by my window? Because it had been sung by Burl Ives. And he said, did you pinch it off him, you see? And that's the point I was trying to make.
I know, but if you'd save it, you might got it in again with
well,
a shot.
Well, I can't get it in now, and after him, the great bully. I don't know why they have him on the show. I really don't. He's an absolute bully. Jolly nasty, too.
So, 31 seconds for you, Tim, on Bach, starting now.
Johann Sebastian Bach, it is very appropriate that we should be discussing this great, magnificent, superb, wonderful composer at this moment in time, because 1685 was the year of his birth, and here we are, exactly 300 12-month periods.
Challenged.
Yes, I think it was either an impression of Clement Freud or hesitation.
It was hesitation, and it was nothing like Clement Freud. He definitely paused, and you have the subject, Giles, and there are 16 seconds on Bach starting now.
The bark is worse than its vital.
Clement Freud challenge.
Hesitation.
Yes, absolutely.
Oh!
He's got his own back on you. I tell you what I'll do. Let's give Clement a point for that challenge because he deserves it.
No, I want the subject.
Mickey point. No, you haven't got the subject.
Because I'll have the point. He can have the subject. He must be at home with barking.
No, the chairman is the one who decides. You jolly well can't be the chairman. Who do you think you are? It's the chairman who decides on this, and we've got a chairman who's got authority. I can tell you that much. He's got enormous authority. You've only got to look at him. I mean, yes.
Wait till I give a decision against him. Thank you, Kenneth. That's very, very charming of you. There are 15 seconds. Still with you, Giles. Bach, starting now.
When I first encountered that distinguished man of letters and words, Clement Freud, I was dressed in a dogskin, that of the canine animal Snoopy. And my bark was an extraordinary sound to hear. And woof went the animal!
So Giles Brandreth got a number of points in that round, including one for speaking as the whistle went, and he's now equal in the lead with Clement Freud and Tim Rice. You begin the next round. The subject, Tim, is weaver fish. Can you tell us something about those in just a minute, starting now?
Frankly, not a lot. If I was asked to weave a fish, I would think this would be an impractical exercise. Mainly the reason being that a woven fish would probably not float. It would be not waterproof. Who in their right mind would give a moment's consideration to this impossible task? First, you would have to get hold of a needle and thread. I rather wish someone would interrupt me because...
Kenneth Williams has helped.
Well, he asked me to, didn't he?
Yes.
But why?
Kenneth, you have the subject,
right.
And there are 37 seconds on weaver fish starting now.
Weaver fish are so called because their excreta manufactures a sort of tapestry, and this makes them look as though they've actually been weaving. And people say, how delightful those little patterns are in the water, though frankly, I think they're rather disgusting.
Tim Rice's challenge.
I think this is... A, unsuitable for broadcasting, and B, has to be a deviation. I don't believe a word of this.
Oh, it's absolutely true, I can assure you. Haven't you ever been on the beach and seen them? Those little patterns that they weave there. That's why they're called weaver fish.
Really? Well, you didn't know this? I never known such incredible ignorance. Isn't it extraordinary?
Don't worry, it'll be in the next musical in the West End. Kenneth, you have another point, and the subject still 20 seconds are left on weaverfish starting now.
I had a weaverfish once in a little aquarium. I say the word, well, I don't actually say that again, but I say minimum.
Giles Brandreth.
Well, I hesitate because Kenneth is such a nice person and I admire and like him so much. But we had...
Oh, get to the point.
We had three says.
You did have three
many
says.
Phrases.
Yes, and you had on three sows, so three says is enough. And there are 11 seconds for you, Giles, on weaverfish starting now.
The last time I ate weaverfish was at Broadstairs, when they were fried, and delicious they were too, with some chips on the side, served at Mrs. Bostock's lovely guest house. She is by far the princess of weaverfish.
So Giles Brandreth, speaking as the whistle went, got an extra point and, of course, another point in the round. So he's now taken the lead at the end of the round, ahead of Clement Freud, who begins the next round. And following weaverfish and what Giles was just telling us, the next subject is unusual food. So, Clement, will you tell us something about that subject starting now?
I was in the Harbour Café at Calais last week, where I had probably the most unusual food I've ever come across. It was not only unusual, it was absolutely disgusting. Everything that was on sale to the people, and it cost a great deal of money, was stale, old, discolored, disfigured, and quite nasty. I had, for instance, to give you an idea of the sort of taste that a Member of Parliament these days is...
I wanted to know what you was going to eat.
Hesitation.
Hesitation, indeed. Yep. He'd actually run out of things to say for once in his life. 31 seconds are left for you, Tim, on unusual food, starting now.
We might think in this great country of ours that eating dog was unusual, but there are many territories across this wide, beautiful 7,927 miles in diameter earth of ours in which dog eating...
Giles Brandreth challenge.
Repetition of dog.
No, just dog eating is one word.
Dog eats dog, yeah, yeah.
Dog eats
the
dog.
The RSPCA
yeah.
will be on you anyway.
I give the benefit of the doubt to Giles and tell him he has 19 seconds on unusual food starting now.
On an excursion to Iceland recently in the capital city of Reykjavik, I tasted for the first time a reindeer. Now, of course, I felt very guilty about this because Rudolph has long been a creature that I've admired, but I must tell you that the haunch of this beast is absolutely superb, delicate, and in its own way gamey, with a lovely, rich sauce made, believe it or not, of seaweed.
So Giles Brandreth, our guest who's played the game a number of times before, is now running away with more points there for speaking as the whistle went, more points, 1 point for speaking as the whistle went, but more points in the round. He's taken a commanding lead ahead of Clement Freud and Tim Rice, and Kenneth Williams is trailing a little. And Kenneth also begins the next round. The subject, Kenneth, continental breakfast. Will you tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now?
Continental breakfast is a term used by hotels to camouflage a load of rubbish. What you should be given is a meal consisting of, say, a little fruit, and then eggs and bacon, perhaps a little fried bread, and some mushrooms and chips, and perhaps a dollop.
Clement Freud's challenge.
Two perhapses coming after two littles.
He's just jealous, you see. He's just jealous because as I started, there was a tremendous round, they all loved it, and you didn't like it, and that's what you can't stand! You can't stand my enormous popularity, you see.
I know, but you did say too little.
All right, I admit it. I admit it. But one of these days they'll be coming out to my door and they'll be making me a very nice proposition.
But I
said... If anything, I'm getting here, I'll tell you.
Well, I think you deserve a round of applause for your history.
No, let him have the statue.
It's been 100 But as the arbiter in the game, I have to stick to the rules, and you did repeat yourself. So Clement has the subject of continental breakfast with 31 and a half seconds starting now.
In the term continental breakfast, the word continental is a mark of denigration, showing very little and indifferent foods such as croissant, brioche, tea, coffee or chocolate, butter and marmalade. A fine English breakfast, on the other hand, consisting of kipper or haddock, eggs, bacon, sausage and mushroom, grilled tomato, and the full panoply of all those things that are best to wake up to. I think it was Somerset Maugham who said that breakfast is the best meal served at the wrong time of day.
Well, Clement kept going until the whistle went, and now he's taken the lead in spite of the fact that he deviated onto the English breakfast rather than the continental one, which no one picked him up on. One ahead of Giles Brandreth, with Tim Rice following and then Kenneth Williams, and Tim begins the next round. Tim, the subject is sericulture. Can you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
When I spoke to you earlier this evening about weaverfish, you may have noticed a certain diffidence in my talk, because, frankly, I hadn't a clue what these little animals that live in the sea were. But when it comes to sericulture, here I am on far more secure ground. As we all know, sericulture is the breeding of silkworms, the study of this fascinating topic, which barristers are particularly keen on, because if enough of these tiny little lads that wiggle around make what they make...
And Giles got in.
I'm afraid repetition of on the make. I mean, making.
Sometimes, yes. Tim, if I can give you, keep going, because sometimes they don't always notice it. And you were doing so well, but Giles Brandreth got in there, and there are 26 seconds on sericulture with you, Giles, starting now.
Sericulture is the sort of way people behave down in that part of the world. It's very different from Sussex culture and Hampshire culture.
Tim is challenged.
Repetition of culture, because he's using the word separately. This is the point that I lost on before.
Yes, that's a good challenge. Sericulture is a word, and therefore, as you use the word culture, on its own, that is repetition, I'm afraid, Giles. So Tim had a good challenge, and he has 19 seconds on sericulture starting now.
I can't tell you how pleased I am to be back among you talking about...
Kenneth Williams...
Deviation, the subject is sericulture, not his reactions to being asked to talk.
Ken, if you had the subject of sericulture with 16 seconds, starting now.
Sericulture, when I look at the word printed, makes me think of something which is the culture of a series. And I would therefore think that it was everything to do with
So, Kenneth Williams got some points in that round, including one for speaking as the whistle went, and he is still in fourth place. But he's not far behind Tim Rice, whose 3 points behind are equal leaders Giles Brandreth and Clement Freud. And Clement, you begin the next round. Shuttle is the subject. Can you tell us something about it in the game, starting now?
Shuttle is a word given to an implement which flies across the net in badminton and is more commonly known as a shuttlecock or co, the CK occasionally not being pronounced by people living around Hemel Hempstead, Tring, and that part of the Chiltern Hills, which I know so well because my wife's people came from very near there, Aberdeen.
Kenneth Williams, Charles.
Yes, where his wife's people came from? Is that to do with the shuttle?
I know, it's a complete deviation.
Terrible deviation.
Kenneth, the subject is shuttle, and you have 32 seconds now, starting now.
I had to fly to Leeds, and I went by shuttle. And they opened this can.
Tim Rice, a challenge.
A deviation, there's no shuttle to Leeds. It's just Glasgow, Edinburgh, Belfast, Edinburgh, Manchester.
I went to Manchester on the shuttle, and then I was taken to Leeds, you see. So there! How dare you interrupt my flow? I mean, I was just underway.
Yes, actually, he didn't say the shuttle went to Leeds. He said he went to Leeds on the shuttle.
Well, he didn't. He went to Manchester on the shuttle. That's part of the journey, you great fool!
If he'd said, I went to Leeds by shuttle, then I would have given it to you, but he didn't. I went on the shuttle to Leeds, so he went by Manchester.
That's like saying, I walked to New York.
Don't argue with the chairman!
But it's ludicrous.
Don't argue!
It's like saying, I walked to New York, if you just walk down your drive to get into your car to get into the plane.
Yes, that's a very good point. I'm still going to leave it with Kenneth, because we haven't heard enough from him. And so, Ken, you have the benefit of my doubt here, and there are 25 seconds on shuttle starting now.
A stewardess leant over me to provide some refreshment, and half of it went in my lap. I was absolutely furious. I said, you call this shuttle service? I said, it's all over me, because the stain was obvious for all to see.
Tim Rice has challenged again.
At least two alls, and several services as well. But I'll go for the alls.
Oh, big deal, right. You did mention all more than once, so I must be fair to Tim on this one. And Tim, you have 4 seconds, no, 4.5 seconds, actually, on shuttle starting now.
Recently, I walked to Peking. This was an extremely interesting journey.
Clement Freud challenge.
Deviation.
Was it?
Deviation, nothing to do with shuttle.
I know, that's correct, actually.
I hadn't finished my sentence, I only just started.
No,
if you should have said, I went by shuttle to Peking, that's... So actually, Clement was technically correct. You were trying to be so clever, Tim. I'm sorry you didn't get away with it.
Honest.
So, Clement, you have 2 seconds on shuttle starting now.
London, Manchester, Belfast, Glasgow.
Well, I'm afraid we have no more time to play Just a Minute, but on that last hilarious round, we bring the show to a close. And let me tell you that it was fairly close, because Kenneth Williams got a lot of points in that round, and he finished equal in third place with Tim Rice. And there were only 2 behind Giles Brandreth, who was only 2 behind this week's winner, Clement Freud. We do hope you've enjoyed this edition of Just a Minute, and we'll want to tune in again at the same time next week when we take to the air and we play Just a Minute. From then until then, from all of us here, goodbye.
The chairman of Just a Minute was Nicholas Parsons. The programme was devised by Ian Messiter and produced by Pete Atkin. Thank you.